Praise God. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 43. It's kind of interesting that, you know, just as the seasons change, when seasons change, things all around us change. You know, I thought it was interesting. Yesterday, we were in, my wife and I were in Newmarket, and we went to a restaurant for lunch. And when we went in the restaurant to eat lunch, it was 72 degrees. The sun was shining. All right? And we weren't there all day, right? We didn't sit there and eat all day, but about an hour later, when we came out, there was a 20 degree difference. The temperature had dropped 20 degrees in an hour, you know? And what the Lord was speaking to my heart was, I was looking at that a little bit. The Lord was speaking to me about how quickly things can change. No matter what your circumstance, no matter what your situation, no matter what you may be facing, just all of a sudden things can change. Just as that temperature, in our mental mind, we say, well, temperature is going to gradually go down, but 20 degrees just like that, it's pretty quick. Amen? But the word of the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 43:19, he says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And in other words, he was prophesying, he was speaking about the children of Israel. They're getting ready to come out of Egypt. They're going to cross through the Red Sea, and they're going to be led through the wilderness, and God was going to provide. But at the same time, we come to some dry places in our lives and some wilderness experiences, and God says, behold, I will do a new thing. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm looking for the new things of God. I'm looking for things to open up and spring forth like his word proclaims. So with this in mind, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Amen. To set the timetable here in this text, the rapture's taking place. The tribulation's already taking place. The millennial reign's taking place. The white throne judgment has taken place, and the unrighteous, those that had not trusted in Jesus, was cast into the hell. Okay, and matter of fact, I'll just start reading with verse number 12. And he said, and I saw in 12 on verse chapter 20. Excuse me, chapter 20. We'll begin with reading with verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up her dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, after the millennial reign of Christ, there's some misteaching on this. Recognize that no one that's in Christ Jesus loses their salvation through the millennial reign of Christ. If you look with me in the back for a moment, just because I want to bring this to a point. And chapter 20, let me find where I'm at. Okay, blessed is holy is he that had part of the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with them 1,000 years. Okay? So this second death, or this white throne judgment, we're not losing our salvation during the millennial reign. But I want to take you to verse 1 of chapter 21. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all of their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, Pastor, why are you going there? Because God wants you to understand that there's some things in store for you that this earth will not see. God has some blessed things for the child of God. And sometimes we don't talk about these things, but God wants you to have, you know, faith is the substance of the things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. And if I don't have hope for something, I'm not going to walk in any faith towards it. Amen. And so I want to focus your attention to verse number 5 today. And the word of God says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. The title of this morning's message is All Things New. We're going to look at the throne, the things, and the truth. Amen? So can we lift our word together and make a declaration here in the house? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have what God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in our midst today. Father, some old things are going to pass today. And Father God, some things are going to become brand new. Because it's your word. It's your power. So, Father, we say, have your way in this house. Speak through this vessel, Father God. May Carl get out of the way. Holy Spirit, speak through me. May the words that come out of my mouth be edifying, exhorting, and comforting to everyone in the room. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all praise, honor, and glory. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You know, one of the things that really excited me as I was looking and I was studying and spending time with the Lord is his throne. It says that he that sat upon the throne, his throne. I think so many times we have a mentality to minimize his throne. His throne is majestic. His throne is glorified. Amen. His throne is such a place that these eyes and this body cannot be in the presence of it. You know, even in the Word of God, in the book of Revelations alone, the throne is mentioned 45 times. So I believe that God wants us to have an understanding that about the throne of God. Amen? Or you think God's just speaking for the sake of speaking, okay? No, everything that God says, he says with purpose. Amen? I'm excited because God never does anything he doesn't reveal and show to his children. Amen? I mean, amen? In other words, sometimes when things come about, we say, well, I don't know how that happened. Well, the Lord tried to show you before it ever came. Amen. So let's look at the throne first. Look with me to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Amen. His throne, he rules. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excelleth in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. In other words, I want you to understand that his kingdom is where the rule comes from. Not only does he rule, but he also reigns, okay? Look with me in Isaiah chapter 66. I love the way Isaiah painted a picture of the things that were going to come. Amen? And how John the Revelator was caught up in a vision, all of a sudden it affirms everything that the prophet Isaiah had spoken. You know, in Isaiah 66, verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. In other words, God says, man, I've created all things. Everything was created by me. Yeah. By him were all things that were made, made. Okay? And God is wanting to dwell in a house that welcomes him. He doesn't force himself. He wants to dwell and reign in you and I. Amen? Amen. Amen. He wants to set up his throne in our heart. He wants to dwell in you and I. He doesn't want to dwell. He doesn't come to dwell in buildings made by man. He comes to dwell in the created vessel. He wants to dwell in you and I. Amen? And if you have a majestic picture of this throne of God and the glory of God, God wants to reside in you and I. You know, when I was looking at that in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is writing to the churches, all seven churches, which means the complete church. But I think it's interesting in Revelation 4, beginning to read with verse 1, now the Revelator is speaking. Jesus had spoke to the churches, and now in verse 4, John says, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat on was to look upon like as a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight, like unto an emerald. In other words, this isn't the half of the rainbow we see. This is a full rainbow. That rainbow that we see is a covenant, a promise of God of that he will not destroy this world with the water again. But the second, the bottom half, is his covenant of his return and all of his promises. It's an endless circle. All the promises of God are yes and amen. God is making a covenant with us, and he's a covenant picture of an almighty God. As you're looking upon him and you see this rainbow round about him, he's reminding us of his promises, of his covenant that he made with us. Hallelujah. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning on the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. You know, Zechariah chapter 4 talks about the lamps. The lamps are the light to every church, the church at whole. The pipes represent the Holy Spirit coming to every house that serves and worships God. It's the fullness of his light flowing by the Spirit of God. Amen. And this is a picture of the Holy God. You can read that Zechariah prophesied in Zechariah chapter 1 when he talked about Zerubbabel, and he took him up into heaven. He saw the bowl with the candles, with the pipes flowing, and the seven pipes flowing. And it's kind of interesting that Jesus is talking about the seven churches, then he goes to the seven lamps, and then he goes to the seven spirits filling, which speaks of the fullness of God in every house that's connected to the source. In other words, it doesn't mean his power is in every house, but his power is in every house that's connected to the source, that's connected to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the oil that's flowing through the lines. Amen. In other words, we've got to let that light, like a lamp without oil would do what? It would flicker out. It would stink. The wick would burn, and it would smell. It would be odorous. It would be stinky. But when the oil is burning and the oil is flowing, there's a crystal light, and it shines, and it lights up the atmosphere. Amen? And that's what God's about. God wants to come into this world and light this place up. Hallelujah! It's time. He's sick and tired of his body, his church, walking in darkness. Amen? That he's brought in the light of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You know, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul writing to his student Timothy. In verse 16, he says, "Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man have seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting." Amen. Nobody. Nobody has seen. There's been many that have been caught up in heavenly visions and the spirit and in their spirit man seen, but there's been no man that's walked into heaven as to see God. Why? Because his word says so. I've heard many stories. And if it doesn't align with the word, I don't believe the story. It says right here, no man have seen nor can see. Amen? And I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about Christ. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about the God Almighty. Amen? In other words, he's a power and he's a source. Amen? God allowed Jesus to become man so we could wrap our minds around it. Because an all-powerful, all-glorified God, we can't wrap our minds around it. It goes above our comprehension. It goes above our understanding. Amen? Amen? So I don't want to make the God that I serve a small God. I serve a great, big, big God. God said, and it was. God said in this universe was formed. Amen? He didn't say, when he spoke it, it became. He said, and I looked, and he that sat upon the throne said, he said this, "Behold, I make all things new." Things comes from the existence or entities or anything that's created. God's going to turn some things and make things new. How many know that you can't make something new unless something that's old dies? Hello? In other words, if a builder somebody came to you and said, "You have a weak foundation and that's why your house is falling," you don't tear down the house and build it on the same foundation again. Amen? In other words, some old things have to pass away so some new things can become. Amen? God's going to do away with some old things today. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 42. Why do you say that? Because God said he was. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 42, verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand, and I will keep thee and give thee a covenant of the people for a light unto the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out of the prisoners from the prison, to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Amen. God doesn't leave us in the dark. We're not in the dark, we're in the light. Amen. We're walking in the light. We're having fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from all sins. We're walking together. We're believing God and His Word. If He said it, He's going to do it. He says to you and I in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, Revelation. Unless the old things pass away, nothing becomes new. In other words, we become like Watergate. Cover up. In other words, God says, if we let some old things die, behold, He'll do something new. But if you continue to hold on to the old, sing a song. Listen to me. You can't keep the old and expect the new. So many times we're asking God to change the old. And God says to you, I've got something better than that for you. You just let that old go and I'll do something brand new. Amen. God is a God of new things. God wants to do a new thing in every heart and every life of everyone in this room. God has a plan in every life. Amen. But He can't do something new unless you let go of something old. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 65. I love Isaiah. I love the word. Verse 16. He says that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of the truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be you glad and rejoice ever, forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. You know, in this context, just so you understand, the prophet's still prophesying of the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down of heaven. You know, after the millennial reign with Christ on this earth, the devil's loose for a small season, and then he's enchained, and they have the white throne judgment. And then the Bible says God does away with the whole earth, and He creates a new earth, a new heaven, and a new earth. And then New Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven, where God, for the first time, is going to dwell on earth instead of heaven. He takes His residence here on earth according to His word. Amen. And if you look at this in this word, and I was looking at that, we have understanding. Verse 20, it says that there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor of the old man that have not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. That's during the millennial reign, because there's no death and there's no sin and there's nothing in the new heaven and the new earth. Death has been swallowed up. Just so you understand, God wants people to understand. Through the tribulation, 2/3 are destroyed through the tribulation and 1/3 to survive. 1/3 of the population of the earth comes through the tribulation. And will rule and reign over that 1/3 for 1,000 years. And Christ will be on earth and will reign with Christ. Then Satan is loose. That's when the judgment comes for the unrighteous, because the Bible says, even though they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, they turned from him like the sand is from the sea. Amen. That shows you truthfully how wicked man can be. Amen. So when we have this new heaven and earth, there's no more sin, there's no more death. Wow. Can you imagine this earth that we're going to reign on with God for eternity? It's going to be restored. Well, I don't know how God's going to make it. He didn't tell me. Amen. I know it's going to be spectacular. And I think one of the things that really blesses my heart and that helps me when I look past the things that I'm going through and I see the millennial reign with Christ and I see eternity with God, that this lifetime is so minimal and so small compared to eternity. Amen. It's just a it's a breath. It's a moment. It's a moment in time is all this is. And if I would, you know, if I want to catch everything and try to win everything in this world and miss that to come, I didn't gain a thing. Amen. I think God wants us to understand, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, well, Pastor, you'd be talking about heaven. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know why I'm telling you about heaven? Because some of you are going through hell. Amen? And heaven will kick hell's butt. Amen. He says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12, looking and hasting until the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. A new heaven and a new earth, there won't be any unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's a sad state we're in this world right now. What concerns me more, the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Jesus said it, and Jesus wasn't saying it just for the sake of talking. Amen? And Jesus said, hey, because it's coming, amen, we're in this world, we're not of this world. Man, I'm just passing through. Amen? I'm passing it through, and I'm on the way to a new heavens and new earth, and God wants me to grab some people and bring with me. Amen? You good? Your head good? Huh? Your head all right? Huh?
Yeah, my head's
okay. Okay. I thought you had a headache. Okay, all right. Yeah, praise God. So he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Write, says he that is true and faithful. So we're going to look at the truth, and that's one thing I want to look at first. So turn me to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going to look at the priest, the prophet, and the prophecy. Amen? Moses was recognized as the priest. He would have been one of the first priests. So in 1 Kings chapter 8, 56, it says this: blessed be the Lord that have given rest to his people Israel, according that all that he had promised, there have not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. He says not one word has failed, which Moses the priest had spoken for God. There was not one word that failed. Amen. So turn with me also now. Let's look at Ezekiel at the prophet. Ezekiel chapter 12. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ezekiel writes this in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 24. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more prolong. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and I will perform it, saith the Lord God. And again the word of the Lord came unto me, and saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say the vision that it seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth the times that are afar off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any longer, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. In other words, God is saying, now we're in a time when the word's going to be spoken, it's going to happen. 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 In other words, we don't have to wait any longer.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that gets me pumped up. Hallelujah. In other words, what God wants to get in our hearts today, God wants to do something new. But he's asking us to let something old go so he can do something new. Jesus said this in Matthew 24. Jesus said, Matthew 24, verse number 35, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Everything that he said is. Everything that he said. Then faith is. Now faith. Not next week faith. Not next month faith. But now faith. Now faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, before I can see the new, I got to let go of the old. God wants to take something from every one of us today. But God cannot take anything that we will not give him. God is a perfect gentleman. He gave you and I a will. It's our choice. Amen? And it's our choice. But that one thing that's holding you down, God wants to do something to bring forth something new. You know that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in closing today, 1 Thessalonians 5, huh? Praise God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. So what is God saying to you and I in closing today? God wants us to come to his throne of grace. He wants to do a new thing with us. Because he is faithful and he is true. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So in closing, what God wants to do and what I believe the Lord spoke to my heart about is I want to stand in agreement with you today. I'm not really interested and what you're letting go. That's between you and God. But I'm going to stand in agreement with you that God's going to do something brand new. Amen? Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word to do something in every heart and every life of every last one that's gathered in this room today. Father, you're the searcher of all hearts and you're the searcher of all lives. Father, you know what's holding each and every one of us back in some way, shape, or form. But today's a, It's a new day. This new day is going to bring us a fresh new tomorrow. And you said to me, Father, that we were going to let something old go. And behold, you were going to do something new. So I ask you that's gathered here today.